I was getting to the end of a school year when I got some really bad news that made me afraid that I wasn't going to be able to graduate. This was in kindergarten, and the bearer of the bad news was my second grade sister. Her message: if you don't know how to color between the lines, they won't pass you on to first grade. I was terrified. But you know what? At the end of that school year, there actually was an assessment, and on that assessment, there really was: can the student color between the lines? I thought that was really interesting, so I talked to my girlfriend, who's a second grade teacher. Why do teachers care about whether or not you can color between the lines? Turns out, all of those coloring books, all those worksheets, they actually have some educational value. Those black and white lines are there because kids have trouble with hand-eye coordination. They need to practice those fine motor movements so that someday they're able to hold a paintbrush. I think we'd all agree, though, if you ever want to make something really beautiful, if you ever want to make something really special, you have to move on from coloring books. You got to be able to start with a blank canvas. You have to have some freedom if you want to make something beautiful. But that doesn't mean every blank canvas turns into something good. Even the best artists have lots of works that never see the light of day, and just about any work that I would make should never see the light of day. All that freedom can be a little bit of a double-edged sword. Freedom is great. It's necessary. It's a sign of maturity, but it's not always easy. And sometimes it can lead to something that's downright ugly. God's message for you today: you're free. Freer than you think. A blank canvas is in front of you. Do you know how to use it? I'll be honest. Freedom is not something that I always think about when I think about being a Christian. One of the things that I think about most when being a Christian is rules. Rules. Because think about how many times there are things that I know that I'm not supposed to do that I really want to do. There's so many times that I spend a lot of time feeling guilty about things that I have done that I know I'm not supposed to do. And I look at the people around me, the people who don't believe in Jesus, and they don't seem to care about any of that stuff. They seem to be a lot more free than I am, while I have this heavy weight on my shoulder, Christian duty. But Jesus says something very interesting. God says, the commands of the Lord are not burdensome. They're not heavy. And I think what he's saying is this: Christianity is really not a religion that has a lot of rules. Think about the Old Testament. You know that there's probably, you probably know that there's lots and lots of rules in the Old Testament. When God said to the Israelites, he said, if you want to be my people, you need to follow my rules. So how many rules did he give them? 10? No, 613. At least that's what the Jews say. There's 613 rules in the Bible for the Jews to follow. That's a lot. How many rules for Christians to follow? Jesus says, one. Love. Love God, love your neighbor. One rule, just the one. Why that difference? The Bible uses an interesting picture. It says, in the past, before Jesus came, his people were like children. They were like youths. They needed somebody to protect them. Now that Jesus has come, we're mature. We're ready for gray areas. No more coloring books for us. God gives us a blank canvas and says, make me something beautiful. What God gives us are not so much rules as they are principles. In the Old Testament, God says, give 10% of everything you have to the Lord. In the New Testament, God just says, be generous. The Old Testament, every Saturday, you can't do any regular work, just worship God. For us, God just says, meet together often. Come worship the Lord. The difference is clear. No more rules for us, just principles. But if we're going to take that analogy pretty far, you can paint with perfect technique and still make something that's really ugly. That's the kind of situation that we have in our sermon text today. It's a letter from the greatest world missionary who ever lived, the Apostle Paul, to one of the churches he started in Corinth. And he had heard some bad things about this church. There were a lot of problems with this church. People were arguing. And one of the sizzling questions on everybody's mind, where can you eat lunch? That's what the question was. Where can you eat lunch? To give you some background, this was a very poor church. Lots of the people there were really struggling to put food on the table. And so some of them apparently had an idea. In this world that they lived in, sometimes the people would give sacrifices to the Greek gods, to false gods. They would give sacrifices, and at those temples, after they gave the sacrifice, there would be some meat left over. And so they'd say, let's go to the temple and eat some of that free food that's given out. It seems a little weird, but in their head, this is what they said. They said, we're free. We're Christians. It doesn't matter if this was given to a false god. We can still eat this food. It's really nothing wrong with that. And Paul says, you know, you're right. But the problem is, not everyone sees it that way. Lots of people grew up worshiping those idols. For lots of people, that's a really hard thing, and they want to stay away from those idol temples. So when you go to an idol temple and you eat this food, it sends a message to your Christian brothers and sisters that the difference between God and idols is not important. And so if one of those brothers or sisters was to go with you and eat that food in their own heart, they would be committing idolatry against God. They would be destroyed. The problem that these Christians had was that when they were given freedom, all they thought about was their own rights. All they thought about is, what am I allowed to do? What am I not allowed to do? And they didn't think about how it affected the people around them. So Paul says, if what I do could cause somebody to stumble, it would be better if I gave up all of my freedom. If I never ate any kind of meat ever again, then do something that would destroy my brother, my sister, someone Christ died for. God is challenging us to radically change the way we think about sin. Inside of me, inside of you, is a legalist who wants to know, what am I allowed to do? What am I not allowed to do? Where exactly is the line so I can get as close as possible without crossing it? What we're really doing is hiding our selfishness behind God's law. Because if I'm doing what God says, you can't accuse me of being wrong. But Paul says that's not how sin works. You can do something that's totally within your rights and still be totally wrong. You can check every box and still fall short of the law of love. You can paint with perfect technique and still make something hideous. What God's really challenging us to do is to radically change the way we think about people. The sinful heart sees people as obstacles. It sees people as things that get in the way of my freedom. But God says, when you look at each other, I want you to see my brother, my sister, someone Christ died for. If you matter so much that Christ died for you, how horrible and selfish would it be if I treated you like an obstacle? If I used my lips to call you a brother or a sister, a friend in Christ, and then I let my life say that I care more about my freedom than I do about you, I could destroy somebody like that. I have destroyed people like that. I think about the people that I've given the cold shoulder to, people that I have broken a relationship so much with that I can't even share Jesus with them anymore. I think about people who came to me to see a brother in Christ, a leader, and I led them into sin. I think about people who have left the church because they think Christians are hypocrites, and I was too self-centered to show them even a little bit of love. And then I think of those words Jesus said. It'd be better for someone like that to have a millstone tied around their neck and thrown into the sea. Because making people stumble, destroying people, that's the devil's work. And the punishment for doing his work to join him in hell. But those words are not there to destroy you, because your brother Jesus would not destroy you. He did not destroy you. He had all the freedom in the world. The universe was his canvas. He could have done anything he wanted. And he chose to use that freedom to come and save us. We weren't even his brothers and sisters. We were his enemies. But he chose to become our brother. He chose to call us children of God. He chose to be destroyed for us. And when those men were pounding the nails into his hands to destroy not just a brother or sister, but Christ himself, he did not say, tie a millstone around their neck. He said, Father, forgive them. Jesus took the punishment of hell on himself. There is no more punishment. He has set you free from the pain of this sin and every sin. And there's one more promise he has for you that is so important when I'm afraid that my sin will cause someone else to fall. He says, your Father is not willing that any one of his little ones should fall. To say that in a different way, nothing can come between God and his children, not even me. No matter how terrible I am, no matter how much I destroy and crush and scatter God's people, God will gather them again. No one can destroy God's children, not even me. Isn't that amazing freedom? When I've done wrong, it's taken away. The people I've destroyed are built back up again. It's like if every day, no matter how ugly and hideous the painting I made yesterday, I'm given a brand new canvas. God says, make me something beautiful. A beautiful picture of brothers and sisters living together in unity and peace. So often it's not a Mona Lisa. It looks more like the doodle a kindergartner gives to his dad. But because he's our Father, because Jesus has made us his children, your Father loves that picture. He loves you. So let's get painting.